And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Shirley Cohen. She is the interim director of the Black Nurses Association, New Mexico and El Paso chapter. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be here. Being a part of a community radio is a great honor to get to speak to the people that I see all the time. You know, every day we go into the Walmart, we run into people we know, people we would like to know. And every time I go to a community event, I run into people I know all the time. So I want to thank you for running a wonderful community radio show because it really does help bring us all together.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, so for people who aren't aware, and I wasn't until I met you at the Community Foundation event, tell us a little bit about the Black Nurses Association.
Well, National Black Nurses Association has been around since 1970. Following the Civil Rights Movement, people began to, black women, black nurses began to congregate and get together and say, we need to form our own coalition. You know, we all know even before the Civil Rights Movement and even today, blacks are often underrepresented in many aspects. Black and brown people usually get left a little bit behind. So I wish I could remember Lorianne's last name, and I apologize for not. I just wrote a nice program on our history. But they got together and they decided that they would create, because of the movement and the momentum and the motivation it brought, they created National Black Nurses Association, and Lorianne was the first president in 1972. Black Nurses Association, National Black Nurses Association, is also international. It goes through parts of Africa, the Caribbean, and any particular area is able to join. And so they have several hundred thousand nurses involved. And they've been around since 1972. And people still ask me today, why do we need a Black Nurses Association? And that's always a good question. And I said, if the world was perfect and racism didn't exist, neither would chapters that needed to have a voice. One of my favorite mentors, Dr. Catherine Alicia Georges, moved National Black Nurses Association into advocacy when she became president. And so they have an annual march on Washington, D.C. every February, where they promote and advocate for legislation. Last year, I don't know offhand what this year's was last year one of their biggest issues was called birth trauma. Black and brown women were generally less valued during labor, delivery, and postpartum. And you'd always hear occasionally of a death of someone that was missed and was not adequately resuscitated. And moms usually, and there's a higher maternal mortality rate. And when you look today at the gerrymandering and the voting, and I don't want to get too much into politics, but you can see that there are great attempts to decrease the voices of black and brown people. And so this was something that was greatly needed. When I came to Las Cruces in 2023, I began teaching at NMSU, New Mexico State University, which I love. It's a wonderful, wonderful institution. I know that Las Cruces is a university town, and we try to promote it and progress it as much as possible. But one of the biggest needs that I saw in Las Cruces in general is bringing the professional nursing organizations into Las Cruces and the aspect of nursing promotion and progression that it brings. And just briefly, for the audience that doesn't know much about professional organizations in general, irrespective of the profession, professional organizations usually write the standards of practice and the policies for national organizations, of which the corporate organizations follow. And that's the same with professional nursing organizations. They started out by developing the national standards for nursing. And there are many, many organizations now. There are different types, different people. There's no one size fits all. And I'm sorry, you could just signal when, you know, you can.
No, that's fine.
But professional nursing organizations bring out an aspect of a profession that our employers just don't have the time to do.
Sure.
So I'm going to jump in here a little bit, if it's all right.
That, please, by all means.
I'm also a former professor, so I always love to talk. I'm curious, though, are there certain policy areas, when you do the march in February with the organization, are there certain policy areas you look at that are more adversely impacting the Black community? You said maternal health. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
I noticed that you're also interested in the opioid crisis and community risk. So there's certain policy directions that you feel that the mainstream is not really paying enough attention to.
Well, I mean, we can look at this year and last year's marches, which had to do with protecting the public as far as health care.
Yes.
Looking at trying to prevent the Medicaid cuts, ensuring
yes.
that vulnerable populations in our rural areas, irrespective of race or color. And that I want to just make sure that when we talk about Black and brown people, that's where the mission came from. But the entire premise is to protect all vulnerable populations and the public.
Yes.
So you can just take healthcare as a huge topic and say, yes, that's what they're looking for. And this year, one of our big issues is the deprofessionalization of nursing. When nursing was not considered a profession anymore
yes.
by our government,
yes.
it prevented many of our advanced practice nurses and our leadership from getting adequate loans to pay for school. And so
yeah,
that has been a big
that.
Focus this year. And that would affect anyone who wants to go back to school in a graduate level program that is not able to get the funding because there are limits to funding for nurses.
Yes, I recall. That was last year, I think, the
government
did
that. No, it's still going.
Yeah.
I
meant that was when they first decided that nurses
and
weren't professions.
Yeah.
Right, and it affects nursing dramatically. And
huge.
States like New Mexico have such a shortage of nursing. Mm-hmm. And without the funding, we won't get faculty. Without the funding, we won't get doctorally prepared. Without the funding, we won't get nurse practitioners. And we already have a shortage of all of those in New Mexico.
Yeah, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about the opioid problem that obviously we've heard so much about and what you're doing to try to address it?
Well, thank you for bringing up that issue because, again, that affects all different types of people.
For
and
sure.
I want to, you know, and when you see we are an integrated chapter here in New Mexico. And so the opiate crisis, we thought at one point we had a handle on it, and we did. I think it was 22 to 24 where the numbers decreased in the death rates to opiate. And that, I think that had a lot to do, and I give the Department of Health and Human Services great credit for bringing Narcan to the layperson and making it free of charge, even though a lot of Narcan, and we can get to that in a minute, is expires very quickly. But the opiate crisis dramatically increased last year. And I think we can relate that to the fact that because we were doing so well with Narcan, they went to another chemical addition to the fentanyl that is more resistant and not responsive to Narcan.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it just always one step behind the chemist, I guess?
Well, you know what? We know if we want to put on our conspiracy theory hats, which I don't mind doing, there is a reason why they want to kill Americans. There are many people that die with one experimental dosage of fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear those stories of our teenagers that feel invincible,
right.
that say, don't worry, I've taken this before you try it, and they got a bad batch.
Yeah.
And that is really what our opiate crisis is about now. And it requires us more than ever to educate the public, and more than educate, because we've all been educated on so many things, is prepare people to manage a crisis.
Yes.
And so I never wanted to be a Debbie Downer, well, let's just do this just in case. But the reality is, whether I do it or I don't do it, it happens. I do volunteer at the El Caldito Soup Kitchen, and we did have an arrest outside the soup kitchen. The security guard there was phenomenal. He resuscitated the person to the best of his ability. It did not work. And the gentleman got about four doses of Narcan. And so there was no saving him. We don't know whether, and of course at that point, we don't know whether there was something mixed in his drugs or he took a mixture of drugs. But I looked around at all the people that were there and I said, we are the true first responders.
Yes.
So we all must help our fellow human being and be able to do whatever we can while we wait for the ambulance to arrive. So that is where this whole premise of life-saving programs, and it began my colleague, Dr. Jacobet Adeoshi-Fogun, who created the New Mexico chapter with me, the New Mexico and El Paso chapter with me. We started looking for funding in 2023. And one of the things you have to be good at if you apply for grants is getting good at rejection.
Yeah.
So we finally got our grant this year. And so we will be implementing this as soon as probably the purpose of the grant was to get us the equipment, help us to raise income through professional PCLS, basic cardiac life support, and then the money we earn to move most of that over to go into the communities and for low cost or no cost do Heart Saver, which is a layperson's layperson's program.
And so you're also going to be training lay people.
We're going to be doing both.
Okay.
And so the opiate training is mostly for people in the community. You can do, 20 people at one time.
Yeah.
And that program is through a grant that the Department of Health has through Dona Ana County. So we're going to go through them. We could do our own program, but I want to honor them by having their grant fulfilled. And then, of course, on a grant, you have to go through certain steps. You just can't give a fly-by-night and say, okay, we're done. And I really want to appreciate that and really bring them in as not really a true partner, but one that we really consider very important to be a part of our organization and the things that we do.
So especially, I was wondering, because of your experience there at the soup kitchen, there are certain areas where you're more likely to have people in the public might be more likely to need to have some kind of a training if they see somebody like this. Maybe not just like El Caldito and the Community of Hope in general, the Camp Hope, but also perhaps like the farmers market or things where you're going to have collections of people and you're likely to... You're more likely than not to see someone in a crisis. Are you reaching out to those specific organizations?
Well, and to be perfectly honest, we just got the grant.
Oh,
we don't even have the equipment yet. And we are a small organization. So we can only do the best we can do with what we have.
Okay.
But the goal is to go into the more rural areas like Anthony, Chaparral, Mesquite, and anywhere else that somebody will have us. Now, of course, at the Community of Hope, we have a large number of people, and the director of the soup kitchen would probably likely give us space after lunch is finished, and we could probably get a large number of people there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few trained trained members in the delivery of the opiate education program and a few that are BCLS instructors.
Mm-hmm.
So it is still a bit of a work in progress. We have to get the equipment. We have to get the space. We have to organize
parse out all
the stuff that you have to do. And then we're planning to start with the professional BCLS hopefully by the end of July. Unfortunately, the end of July is sooner than it was a month ago. and so I know I can get the equipment fairly rapidly, but Dr. Jacobet Adeoshi-Fogun is the BCLS expert. I am still in training. So, and I have another member who also took the education to be an instructor for the opiate crisis, which we can also start because that requires very little education. We need a little renewal on some of the information so that I pay better attention because it's the documentation and the paperwork that is very important with any grant.
Sure.
And so we are looking to start in July for the BCLS and possibly September for some of the Narcan and the opiate education. The hopes of the BCLS program and promoting the faculty within NMSU to become instructors so that we can all earn a little income is that it will help to increase our membership. And so mm-hmm. we are offering some of these things. And, of course, if you're a member, you get a perk on decreasing costs for your BCLS. So we're trying. That's one of we're doing it for recruitment. We're doing it to advance faculty and knowledge to help our students that have to take BCLS when they come into our program.
I'm going to interrupt again. BCLS.
I'm sorry. I apologize. BCLS is Basic Cardiac Life Support. Our program is through the American Heart Association.
Yes.
For lay people, it's called Heart Saver. Or hands-only CPR, there's two different programs. And basically, professionals need to be certified at all times where they work for their employer. So we want to offer for the professionals, and again, for faculty at NMSU and students, we will have some reduced fees because we really do want to promote our own.
Yes.
That is very important to me, that we grow from within. And offer the best perks to the people that work with us, for us, and around us.
Yes.
You talked at the very beginning about the shortage of healthcare providers in New Mexico. That's obviously been a huge topic of discussion at the legislature. What are your thoughts about why we have this shortage, what we need to be doing differently?
Well, there are certainly, that is, there's no simple solutions to complex problems.
Yeah.
And there are issues on the side of provider need, and I feel for my physician counterparts that malpractice in New Mexico, I don't know if you ever go to the Progressive Voter Alliance meetings,
yeah.
And they, every now and then when we have the roundhouse in session, they will come out and talk about the malpractice in New Mexico, and how costly it is for a provider to practice here. And then you look at the technology in New Mexico, and we are a little bit behind the East and West Coasts as far as technology, types of procedures, and many people go to Texas or Arizona for their heart surgeries, for their complex, transplants and whatever. I'm a bit of an arrogant snob from New York. I did a lot of my training out there, and there's a lot there to attract a provider to want to go to that area.
Mm-hmm.
There have the universities, mm-hmm. the schools, the culture, and so it always attracts a lot of people to come to New York. We don't have that same kind of attraction here. My big focus, again, is to promote from within.
Mm-hmm.
The best people to upgrade and progress a community are those from the community. And if we provide enough resources, scholarship, perks to have our people stay here, and we do have some in UNM. I went to school at UNM, and there were many of our faculty and medical professionals there that were from within New Mexico and were devoted to progressing the medical field in New Mexico. And the similar mm-hmm. happens to nursing. Not that they need the same to bring in programs, but actually, I don't want to say similar. It is a little different. In New Mexico, because again, we are one of the poorest states, we need to develop our education so people are better prepared and recognize that they are able to go into professions like nursing.
Yes.
Historically, nursing has always been a profession where people can get out of their poverty into a program, and I want to promote that to the best of my ability. We are very fortunate at NMSU that many of our students are the first generation in their family to go to school. And our obligation would be to promote that as much as possible, support them, and help them reach an outcome so that they can stay here with their families, promote the community, get a decent salary, be treated well, and want to stay. So if you take that sentence or paragraph and fill in all the things to get there, we will improve our nursing personnel throughout the state. I do some work with the New Mexico Nurses Association, and we're trying to bring much more professional education down to Las Cruces so
yes.
people don't want to leave to go to other places to get it. Dr. Doig has done a phenomenal job of bringing a nurse anesthesiology program down here, improve the simulation lab dramatically to really upgrade the student knowledge base and increase the breadth of programming. So we are always a work in progress. Everybody's a work in progress, but we have a lot of people devoted to getting us there.
Yes, and that'll have such a difference for health outcomes for our community.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
All linked together. So are you, you've now got these grants and they're going to be coming in soon. Is there anything that you would like to ask the community for or to help with? Or
well, I want to just thank you, and I apologize. I should have let you finish. First of all, I just want to remind everybody that this is the Black Nurses Association of New Mexico and El Paso. We are fully integrated, and we have partnerships with many, many organizations within the Las Cruces community. So being a part of our organization will get you entry into learning about the community. We'll also get you into leadership abilities. I promote, again, my members. They're not my members, our members. We promote them by helping them to learn how to teach a presentation, how to write a poster presentation, and we will commit to doing that with anybody that joins us. People that do some, we also offer scholarship for those that are in school. It's a small scholarship because we're a small chapter, but there is, we do offer the scholarships every February. So we've had our one scholarship winner this year for last year. And that is another perk with becoming a part of our organization. We do like to promote knowledge, community support, and bringing a voice to D.C. And supporting the vulnerable populations that are unable to speak for themselves. And that's really our devotion. My telephone number is area code 505-377-1999. And it's better if you send me a text because I now have a smartphone because I often turn the phone off when I'm teaching or doing other work. Again, 505-377-1999. And for those organizations that are interested in having us doing some life-saving programs for them, or for nurses, nursing students that would like to be a part of our organization, you can contact me. Dr. B. Jacobet Adeosunfogun has returned from Nigeria. She was granted a Fulbright scholarship and went to promote the university nursing doctoral program as part of her own work and part of NMSU. So we have both very scholarly faculty in our as members. We also have a lot of students, and we really try and promote, again, all of us that are within the organization. And we partner very closely with the Hest College of New Mexico State University and the School of Nursing. So we try to reach all of those areas to bring them into the fold, even if they are unable to pay our membership fees, which unfortunately are a little steep. And they prevent a lot of people from becoming members. But I do want to offer to people that I will put you on our mailing list. You can attend our meetings. You can attend our programs. You do not have to join to be able to be a part of that communication.
That's very good. Yeah, because you want to get the word out.
I want to get the word out. I want to get people involved, and I want to make sure that people know that we are an all-comer chapter, and we really need to reach all nurses to the degree that they're willing to or need to be a part of a chapter.
And for people who would like to get involved with your opioid program and see that in their communities and participate in what you're doing there, is the same thing?
Just call me and we'll put you on a schedule. Again, my telephone number is area code 505-377-1999. My name is Shirley Cohen, and you can just send me a text with the name of your organization and what you might want. We will probably have a devoted program again once the semester begins in August or September, because a lot of our students would like to join and a lot of our faculty would like to have that as an assignment. So I will have the Department of Health come back and do some more teaching with us and for us. When you take the program, you get your own little Narcan to carry around with you. And I just want to remind everybody, I want everybody to carry the Narcan, but I want to remind everybody that it doesn't do well in the heat, even if we keep it in our cars so that we can access it at all times. It will destabilize. I don't know how long. So just keep in mind that that was one of the things I wanted to mention, that the Narcan will expire. You're better off keeping it in your purse so that, well, and for men, your man purse. and so that you keep it protected from
Or a little cooler? Do people carry around a little cooler?
Yeah, I think that would be a little...
Okay.
Yeah, you don't take a cooler.
I mean, I don't even do it, and I take insulin.
How big is it? Can you put it in your pocket?
No, it's very small. It's very small. And unfortunately, like the rest of the world, when you keep it in your pocketbook, it gets crushed. And, you know, if you can put it in a little hard package or something, that would be great. But I want to remind everybody that the simple dosage of Narcan, you can save a life. And it is something that anybody can do, and the life you save may be somebody that you love or that's in your family. And I want to remind everybody that the Narcan crisis hits, not Narcan, sorry, the opiate crisis hits everybody.
Yeah. Yes, that is really very tragic. This is a wonderful resource you're providing, and I just want to compliment you and the others in the Black Nurses Association and our community. I think this is something that, as you say, could be really saving lives. Is there any final word you would like to say? We're down to our last minute or
That's okay. Once again, I want to thank you for having me here. I want to thank all of our partners for making Black Nurses. We are completed our third year, and the success of Black Nurses Association of New Mexico and El Paso goes to our members, our board, and our partners, in particularly the New Mexico State University, Hess College School of Nursing, and Dr. Alexa Doig. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen.
Thank you.